you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. Hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Monday, October 10th, 2016. All right, everybody, buckle up. We're going to learn about patience today. And actually, on tomorrow's edition of Mark and Friends also, as yesterday, Pastor Herb Coates preached a great message that has points of application for all of us. In fact, on Saturday night, my wife Holly, who many times translates Herb's message, which she receives in advance, into Mandarin for all the Chinese that attend the Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church because they wear headphones, and then she or other people help translate the message into Mandarin. Well, anyways, at about midnight when she finished translating on Saturday night, she climbs into bed and says, "Oh, it's going to be such a great message on Sunday. You're going to probably want to air it on the Monday and Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. Oh, it's going to be a great one." And she's going on and on. And as I attended church yesterday and heard Pastor Herb preach it, I thought, oh, very good message. And I took some good notes. But now in hindsight, I'm wondering if Holly was thinking to herself, Mark needs to hear this message. Mark needs to hear this message. Mark needs to learn more about patience. And I'm sure I do. But before you start agreeing, you probably need to learn a little more about patience, too. It is one of the fruits of the Spirit. But in just a minute or two, I'll read a couple verses to set the stage for today's message as preached, as mentioned, yesterday, October 9th, at the Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church in Champaign by Pastor Herb Coates. But first, I attended the Collingsworth Family Concert on Saturday night in Danville, and a number of people filled out Voice Listener Radio surveys, and so I just quickly grabbed three, and after reading through them, I'll go into our prize cabinet and find some appropriate gifts. But all three will get a free appetizer coupon to the Texas Roadhouse in Champaign. And so the first gift will go to Ernest Porter, who's married to Jeanette, lives in Champaign, enjoys Focus on the Family, the Gaithers, loves the station, and learned about us through a Singing Men concert at his church, so we'll get a good resource to them, maybe something from Focus on the Family. Second winner is Kendron Noldock from Wolcott, Indiana. Oh, he's a youngster, somewhere between 13 and 17 years of age, listens to WGNJ, enjoys Adventures in Odyssey, the Gospel Greats, enjoys a variety of music. We'll get a fun little gift to him. I probably have something from Adventures in Odyssey I can mail off to him. And then finally, let's see, is it Marnie or Mammy? It looks like M-A-R and then possibly an N-I-E, or it's an M-A-M-I-E, Swallow from Danville. Oh, yeah, she has a little note. She was the gal that helped me hand out program guides, because as I was trying to hand out program guides and listener surveys, it was kind of a lot to hold in my hand and hand to people, so I recruited her in the midst of the line. And so we'll be sure to send off. She loves Adventures in Odyssey, the Booth Brothers, Collingsworth Family, and a variety of music. So we'll send off a gift, and it was a fantastic concert. Any of you who have not had the opportunity to hear the Collingsworth Family, I absolutely recommend you attending one of their future presentations, concerts. It was fantastic, and hopefully less in the Crossroads Christian Church there in Danville will bring them back again next year. So thoroughly enjoyed that concert. It was great meeting up with so many of the Great News Radio listeners, and always loved that opportunity to hand out our tote bags and program guides and share about the station. Well, quick little update. Please be patient. We're already teaching you how to be patient by waiting on today's message by Pastor Herb Coates. But in the next 2 weeks at the Great News Radio Center, we hope to get our countertops made and installed, the crown molding up, finished painting, the refrigerator installed, the radio outlets all wired and soldered for the phone jacks so we can connect the headphones and the microphones, the cabinets finished up, some touch-up work, and yesterday in church, I met a great donor that says, hey, I will help underwrite the costs for that humongous TV that you want to have. That'll be probably like one of those 80 or 90 or 100-inch TVs. So that when we have special teachings or talks or presentations, rather than having one of those overheads, it'll be more cost effective and actually better quality picture if we go with a big screen TV. So thank you, God, for that special donor. And hopefully this next week we'll get that ordered up and delivered in the coming days. Reading from Psalm 86, verse 15. But you, O Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Proverbs 14:29, whoever is patient has great understanding, but one who is quick-tempered displays folly. That's Proverbs 14:29. And then James 1:2-4, to set the context for Pastor Herb Coates' message as preached yesterday at the Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church in Champaign, titled Patience. But James 1:2-4 says, consider it pure joy, my brother, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Here's Pastor Herb Coates with his message on patience, beginning with a story that shares a humorous example that we can all identify with.
Some of you who were in the adult Sunday school class heard Randy Frazee tell the story of a man who was being tailgated by a stressed out woman on a busy street when suddenly the light turned yellow just in front of him, and he did the right thing, stopping at the crosswalk even though he could have beaten the red light by accelerating through the intersection. Well, the woman who was tailgating went ballistic, laying on her horn, screaming in frustration as she had missed her chance to get through the intersection with him. As she was still in mid-rant, she heard a tap on her window and she looked up and saw the face of a very serious police officer. The officer ordered her to exit the car with her hands up, and he took her to the police station where she was searched and fingerprinted and photographed and placed in a cell. After a couple of hours, an officer approached the cell and opened the door, and she was escorted back to the booking desk where the arresting officer was waiting with her personal effects. And he said, I am very sorry for this mistake, ma'am. You see, I pulled up behind your car while you were blowing your horn and flipping off the guy in front of you and cussing a blue streak at him. And I noticed the Choose Life license plate holder and the What Would Jesus Do bumper sticker and the Follow Me to Sunday School bumper sticker and the chrome-plated Christian fish emblem on the trunk. So naturally, I just assumed you had stolen the car. Well, being impatient and being like Jesus don't all go together so well, do they? Believe me, this is a major area in my life where I feel a great need to be more like Jesus. As you know, today we are continuing in our Believe series, and we're talking about having the virtue of patience in our lives. My wife encourages me that she sees me growing in this area of my life, and I'm glad I'm moving in the right direction, just wish it didn't take so long. There was a reason I was born 6 weeks premature. I had places to go, people to see, things to do. I believe at one point in my life, my mother entertained the idea of changing my middle name from Wayne to Impetuous. That marked my life. Some of you know that I meet every other week with my brother Jerry, Pastor John's father. We meet for prayer and accountability. And this week when I told him that I was preaching on patience, he tried really hard to hide his smile. But there was no way. He just knows me too well. I'm just glad he didn't suggest I get a guest speaker for this topic. You see, I was the kid who on family vacation was always saying, Dad, are we about there yet? And of course, my dad's idea of vacation was to try to cover the western half of the United States in a couple of weeks. So he would say to me on the first day of traveling 600 miles, now, pal, in about an hour, you'll look out the back window and you'll see the sun coming up, and then it's going to go all the way across the sky. And when it starts going down in front of us and it's getting dark again, you can then ask me again, are we about there yet? Learning patience was grueling for a little boy who was accused of having ants in his pants. Patience, just the word, is enough to remind most of us that we haven't arrived. And I suspect I'm not the only one here this morning who struggles with this issue of being patient. It doesn't matter whether you're a kid or you're a senior adult, there are times when other people and circumstances get to you. I suppose that's because we're always trying to figure out how to cram more and more things in and do that in less time. We don't want to waste time because we feel the pressure of all the things that we think we have to get done. That time crunch is felt by nearly everyone. I read that there's even a church in Florida that now advertises a 22-minute worship service. That's right. They promise that 22 minutes after the worship service begins, you'll be dismissed. The music is fast. The prayers are quick. The sermons are only 8 minutes long. Now, don't get your hopes up, okay? That's not going to happen here. Like it or not, you have a pastor that is convinced that sermonettes are for Christianettes, okay? Well, you've heard and repeated our key verse this week. Whoever is patient has great understanding, but one who is quick-tempered displays folly. Impatience is an obsession with comfort, with ease, with having things our own way. And if we're late driving to the post office, we want every other driver to get out of the way. If we have a headache, we want those people around us to intuit this and to speak softly. We even want the weather to fit in with our planned recreation. Anger is born when we store impatience over time. A child might be shocked when a mother loses her composure over a pair of shoes left in the middle of the floor, but the child doesn't understand. The irritation has been seething for quite a while. The mother isn't exploding over a single act, but over a slow-burning series of events in which she perceives that the family has taken her for granted. All sorts of events can hit us that way. Being a parent of little ones who have no concept of schedule and who fight or cry or demand things all day long can irritate your desire for peace and order. Working for a corporation that's mired in mindless bureaucracy where the wrong people get hired for the wrong jobs, that can be enormously frustrating. Life involves many conflicts. How about traffic? Especially when you're following on the interstate a person driving 50 mile an hour in the left-hand lane with the right turn signal on. Or how about red lights or delayed flights or train crossings? God taught me patience by letting me pastor for several years in Vincennes, Indiana, where during its peak they had 80 trains going through town a day. I spent more time waiting on trains in one day in Vincennes than I have in 10 years in Champaign, and that's absolute truth. I can only conclude that God released me to move to Champaign because I became such an extraordinarily patient person, waiting on trains in Vincennes. Then there's annoying people standing in line at the express lane with a 12-item limit. And the person being checked has 23, not that you counted. You're thinking I have issues, aren't you? Yes. How about being put on hold on the phone? We get accustomed to going through life at breakneck speed, and if anything causes us to slow our sprint down to a jog, we freak out. So much of our impatience comes from the pace at which we run. We get tired and stressed because our schedules are so busy, our plates are too full, and then we take it out on someone else because of what really we've done to ourselves. Isn't it interesting that often when we talk about patience today, more often than not, we're speaking of impatience. We say things like, you are trying my patience, or my patience is wearing thin, or I'm just about out of patience with you. And usually we talk about patience, we're talking about the lack of it. So here's our key question. How does God provide the help I need to deal with stress in my life? Perhaps you remember the account of the New England preacher and writer of the song, O Little Town of Bethlehem, Phillips Brooks. And one day he was pacing the floor like a caged lion, and one of his friends asked, what's the trouble, Dr. Brooks? And he said, the trouble is, I am in a hurry, but God isn't. How many of us can say, been there, done that, right? We want the Lord to give us patience right now. Now, there are some ways, though, that God provides help for our impatient souls. In his book, Think, Act, and Believe Like Jesus, Randy Frazee suggests three ways. First of all, God helps us with patience through his example. God's patience in dealing with us provides an ongoing model of how we should respond to others and to difficult situations. God doesn't jump all over you when you make a mistake. He doesn't give up on you when you ignore him or walk away or intentionally defy him. Rather, he waits. He waits patiently for you to repent, ask for help, return to him. The psalmist said, "But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness." Now here's the deal. If God is patient with me and His Spirit lives in me, then I too should be patient with others. That includes children who get out of bed over and over again because they're thirsty or they need to go potty or they have an owie or they heard a strange noise or saw a scary shadow. It includes one spouse who leaves the kitchen cupboards open or the toilet seat up or the car windows open in the rain. It includes that inconsiderate shopper who takes up two parking spots in a crowded parking lot. Or the inexperienced bagger at the grocery store who puts your eggs on the bottom of the bag beneath the cantaloupe. God also helps with patience through His empowerment. Like all of the virtues that we've been discussing, patience is something that God produces in us over time as we continually submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit's leading in our lives. Remember, we read in Galatians 5, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, and so forth. It's the fruit of the Spirit. As we let God refine us, He gives us the strength to persevere, and He gives us the perspective to see life through His eyes and not just the urgency of the immediate. His perspective, which He shares with us, helps us to see the bigger picture. James reminds us that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And then God also helps us with patience through His encouragement. Scripture is filled with all kinds of encouragements and calls for us to slow down and wait for God's timing and provision. I think of Paul's words to the Ephesians, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. We live in a society that demands my way right away. We're conditioned to believe that we should never have to wait for anyone for anything. Sometimes we're in a long line at the store and I kiddingly say to Cheryl, and I, kiddingly, really, don't these people know that life revolves around me? Didn't they get the memo? And she will say something, I don't know, I did, you know. All in all, what our impatience is saying is that my time, my life is more important than yours. Selfishness is at the heart of our problem with patience, isn't it? Now, earlier in the service, you heard what we aspire today as captured in today's key idea. I am slow to anger and endure patiently under the unavoidable pressures of life. Now, in Scripture, the Greek word makrothumia is often translated into English as patience. This Greek word is a compound word from makro, which means long or slow, and thumia, which means anger. And we put those words together, it carries the idea of taking a long time to burn with anger. Patience means slow to become angry. In other words, it's the opposite of a short fuse. It's the idea of not getting mad over little irritations. It's keeping our emotions in check when we feel like just letting the fur fly over those things that get on our nerves. Sometimes that can be a real challenge, can't it? Perhaps you're familiar with the story of a man who noticed a lady in the grocery store with her 3-year-old in a cart. And the child asked for cookies and mommy said no. And the little girl began to cry. And the mother patiently said, "Now, Missy, we're halfway done. And it won't be long." And the same thing happened in the candy aisle. And this time the little girl kicked and screamed. And again, the mother said, "There, there, Missy, only 2 more aisles and we'll be done." And at the checkout counter, the child's reaching for the gum. And when her mom said no again, she began to scream louder than ever. And the mother said patiently, "Missy, we'll be through this checkout in 5 minutes and then we can go home and have a nice nap." Well, the man followed them out of the parking lot, out to the parking lot, and complimented the woman and said, "I couldn't help noticing how patient you were with little Missy." And the mother replied, "Well, thank you, but my little girl's name is Francine. I'm Missy." Older versions of the Bible translated makrothumia, long suffering, meaning you're willing to live with a difficult situation for a long time. But it's primarily, it's a relational word. I think we'd all agree it's easier to be patient with circumstances than to be patient with people, right? I mean, if you're waiting for a table at a restaurant and you see that the place is jammed, that's frustrating, but you realize there's nothing more you can do about it, so you just wait. But if you're waiting for a table at a restaurant and you see three or four empty tables that haven't yet been cleared, you might just start looking for the manager. So patience means slow to become angry. It's a word that's often used to describe God's patience with us. Like when we read in Scripture that God is slow to anger and abounding in love. When 2 Peter 3 tells us that God is patient with us, not willing that any should perish, but that all might come to repentance, it's this word that's used. As we noted earlier, if God is willing to wait for us, maybe it's not so crazy to suggest that sometimes we need to wait for each other. Patience is purposeful. God waits for us in order that we might recognize His great love and receive His forgiveness and new life. So we're to handle anger with macrothumia. Now, I know of nothing more challenging in this regard than the story that our Lord told Peter. You recall how the big fisherman had apparently been having trouble with somebody and was trying to handle it properly, but evidently his patience was running thin, and he asked the Lord how many times he needed to forgive, and he even suggested 7 times. Presumably, you know, stretching it to the limit. The Lord wasn't particularly encouraging when he suggested 77 times, or some translations say that was even 70 times 7, which would be 490, of course. That'd be more like it. And then Jesus told this famous story. He said there was a man who ran up some big debts with his employer, and when it became obvious that he couldn't pay, he asked his master for macrothumia, for patience. Fully recognizing that his master would be perfectly justified in being angry at the failure to repay, he asked only for patience or slow anger. And the master went far beyond the request and freely forgave him for this astronomical amount. And with great relief and gratitude, the servant left the building and promptly bumped into a colleague who owed him money. And the amount borrowed by the second party was 1/600,000th part of the amount he had been forgiven. And when the second man asked for some macrothumia to give him time to pay, the one who had been forgiven grabbed him by the throat and demanded that he be repaid immediately. Well, the Lord makes his point with crystal clarity. Those who have any concept at all of the divine patience are motivated to be patient toward those who have moved them to anger. Perhaps when we take the time to confess to the Lord how we feel about the people who have provoked our ire, we should also take time to recall the kind of patience that God has shown to us. And this in itself, I think, is powerfully motivating, as Peter discovered. Now, growing in patience means taking longer and longer to succumb to frustration and agitation. It's the idea that we will display restraint in situations where most feel they have the right to criticize or complain or defend against or even attack somebody else's behavior. But this virtue goes even deeper to the idea that we will reflect mercy toward the other person as a sign of the strength of our character. We'll not only refuse to defend ourselves, we'll turn down any opportunity to offend the other person. We will suffer long before we get upset. Now, the second word for patience that's used in the Bible, hupomone, literally means to.
Ah, we're going to have to wait for that definition for tomorrow, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. You're hearing a message as preached yesterday by Pastor Herb Coates of the Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church in Champaign. It was a 35-minute message, and I'm breaking it into today and tomorrow's edition of Mark and Friends. So we'll pick right up where we left off as I invite you to be patient till we hear the completion of this message. But know that God helps us with being patient through His example, through His empowerment, and through His encouragement. That being patient means to be slow to become angry. May God grant us all great patience today. As you know, it's part of the fruit of the Spirit as we walk in cadence with His leading, reflecting love and care for a hurting world. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.